Hi, I'm Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a beautiful late summer, early fall day in Vancouver, where I have the pleasure of speaking with another West Coaster. Tiffany Kung is south of me at Stanford University, where she's engaged in her medical studies, and we're going to speak about a paper that she and her co-authors have coming out in the November 2016 issue of Medical Education that is entitled Host Community Perspectives on Trainees Participating in Short-Term Experiences in Global Health. Welcome, Tiffany, and thanks for making the time during what I know to be a very busy time in your studies.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin.
Speaking of your studies, that actually seems like the ideal place to start, because just before we started recording, you were telling me about how this work actually emanated from an undergraduate thesis that you conducted, which is exceptionally rare in terms of the papers that we typically receive and make it through successfully to publication. Can you give our listeners a bit of your background and what got you interested in this topic in the first place?
Absolutely. When I was an undergraduate at Stanford as well, I became very interested in global health. I participated in numerous programs and electives going to different countries, some in Ecuador and India, South Africa. And that's really what prompted me to think about what impact am I having? I'm gaining so much in all these experiences, but I began to question, like, were the programs we're doing sustainable? What impact were we leaving behind?
And did those experiences lead you to particular observations that made it seem like this was something you had to study more systematically? Was it more just a general reflection of what impact that you were having?
Yes, for example, when I was working in Honduras the summer after my freshman year in college, me and my classmates spent a lot of effort putting together a health education program for women who are pregnant. And we devoted our whole summer to this. We spoke to a lot of community leaders about what topics to include. And then when we left, we realized, who's going to continue this program? What's the actual sustainability of this? And it kind of drove me a little crazy when I got home and was thinking about it for a long time. And I realized that a lot of the programs I'd been participating in hadn't really questioned the sustainability and the real impact, because they hadn't really collaborated very well with the community members who we were working with for so long.
What was the perspective of the people who were organizing this elective for you from Stanford? This was obviously meant to be an educational experience for you. Was there any direct intention that this would be leaving a lasting impact on the sites that you were visiting?
So I actually participated in this program. It was not through Stanford. It was an outside source.
Okay.
And I feel like in looking back, a lot of the emphasis was on the students from the U.S. in terms of, this is what you can gain. You're going to be able to have so much exposure to these communities that really need a lot of your help. You're going to do so much great work there. You're going to be able to provide the medical services that they wouldn't receive without you. And a lot of the emphasis, I think, in the recruitment was on, what can you, as an American student, even who's essentially not very qualified or not very trained yet, they kind of touted what I would be able to do even as a college freshman.
Well, and as you look over the literature and think about the increase in the number of these sorts of opportunities that are being set up, or at least the prevalence of them, even if they're not increasing, it does seem like there's a real push for North American schools, certainly, I'm sure many other parts in the world, to get their students these experiences. Where in your current interactions as a medical trainee is that being emphasized?
I've been really reassured that lately it seems like a lot of the curriculum in medical school is focused on medical ethics. At Stanford, there's a huge department. Our dean, Michelle Berry, her main focus of her research has been in medical ethics. So it has taken a rise, but I do think it's kind of lagging behind the huge push that there has been for students to go abroad, and then the ethical questioning of what this impact, which was way behind the students actually going to these different countries.
Right. And so this obviously became an issue near and dear to your heart, but it's one thing to identify the problem and a whole other thing to turn it into a meaningful research project. How did you go about getting the support to design a research study that would help address some of these issues you were observing?
One of the founders of a local program called Child Family Health International. It's a nonprofit who sends students abroad through similar programs like the one I had participated in when I was in college. One of their founders is a professor at Stanford, so I was connected through her. And I talked to her about my own experiences, and then she told me that their organization had been wondering about these very similar questions for a long time, and she offered her own program as a kind of case study for what the impact has been, because this Child Family Health International nonprofit had been working in over 5 countries for the past 10 years.
Do you have any advice for other students who might be interested in engaging in research of this type more generally, in terms of lessons you learned as to how to develop a smooth path so you can have some positive outcome like you've achieved?
Absolutely. I think one of the criticisms some of the host community members had that was echoed in both countries, we did interviews in both Bolivia and India, was that a lot of students tended to make unfulfilled promises. So students visiting from the U.S. or other high-income countries tended to make a lot of promises, whether it be going home and raising lots of donations or following up on their research projects. Many of these times, these promises were unfulfilled. And something that many host community members asked for was that these students follow up and maintain this relationship, because for them, even though for students it seemed like this is a 2-month experience that hopefully they'll remember for the rest of their lives, but they often never send an email or never send a letter or follow up with the doctors who they worked with in different countries.
Actually, can I ask you to elaborate a little bit more on these interviews before we spend some more time on the particular results that you came across? How did you choose to interview in those particular locations, or how effortful was it to find particular individuals who could speak sensibly to the issues that you were trying to explore?
So we chose our populations. We did 35 interviews in India and Bolivia with the local preceptors. So these were doctors, social workers, NGO directors, and program administrators and homestay families. And we decided to work in India and Bolivia because the nonprofit organization has had a really long-standing relationship with these countries. They've been in both sites for over 10 years. We used the local coordinator who was either Indian or Bolivian, had grown up there or lived there for at least 20 years. And we asked them about who would be the best people to do the interviews with, since they were the person on the ground who was organizing all the preceptorships between the students. And we wanted to make sure that the people we spoke to were people who had long-term experiences working with the visiting trainees.
And they noted some issues in terms of the trainees themselves offering things that they didn't follow through on. Was any of that attributable to the institution who was sending the trainees, or were the drawbacks that they were identifying really trainee specific?
I think both. I think in terms of trainees offering things that they could never really follow up on, a lot of that was trainee specific. In both countries, physicians noticed that there was a hesitancy and even an apathy of the trainees. Doctors found that students were reluctant to touch patients in the clinic. And then one doctor said they want to sit in a glass cubicle and look at people. And one doctor felt that his students thought that all these patients were dirty, and even referenced the historic caste system and says, I feel like they treat my patients as if they're untouchables. Another problem was that the program administrators and doctors felt that the students weren't taking much of an initiative to do community work or any type of volunteering work outside beyond their rotations. They felt like students wanted to go have fun, and they wanted to go rafting, and they wanted to go partying late into the night, but they didn't want to spend extra time to teach their local villages about hygiene or things that they're capable of. I think a lot of these problems stemmed from miscommunications, misconceptions of what students' involvement should be in these programs. For example, there's an increased push towards more and more stringent regulations on what students should be involved in. And a lot of programs sending students, they say that students, you are observers only, and you should take no part in medical practice if you are not a medical student, or you're not a full-time doctor, you're not a full-time nurse. So there's kind of this dichotomy between students hearing, don't do anything beyond your level of training, and then that's what students are hearing in the U.S., whereas we're hearing in India and Bolivia, these doctors are thinking, why aren't these students more engaged, and why aren't they more actively involved in trying to kind of provide patient care?
So speaking again to the incredible value of clarifying expectations on both sides and making sure that the understanding is consistent between both the host and the sending side.
Yes.
You alluded a few minutes ago to the first experience that some of these host clinicians have with visiting students not materializing, but then they come to expect that sort of thing with later visiting students. The fact that they're willing to take on more students suggests that even though we've started by focusing on the drawbacks or the negatives that can occur in some of these situations, they must feel like there's something they're gaining. Can you speak a bit about what the benefits were for the hosts?
Absolutely. I feel a little bit that these voices were a little underserviced since that we focused so much on the drawbacks in the beginning, since overall there were so many benefits that the host communities talked about. A large one was that they felt a rise in local prestige by hosting visiting students. A lot of local doctors reported that their patients were really impressed that these visiting students were coming to learn from them. Patients would tell doctors, "Wow, my doctor has these students who came from thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away to learn from my own doctor. He must be a fantastic physician." Also, the visiting students were able to bolster the legitimacy of local NGOs, especially those that served marginalized populations. For example, we worked with a local Indian transgender NGO, and they said that for many years, the local community had been throwing trash at them, being very, very disrespectful to the work that they're doing, until they started partnering with the local nonprofit who was sending lots of visiting students to their site. And once the community saw American students trailing in and out of the transgender clinic every day, the transgender centers actually gained a lot more respect from the local community.
Wow, there's some powerful examples if they're seeing it change that quickly.
Yeah, it really speaks to how these host community collaborators find that the trainees and the local NGOs' willingness to work with them as a representation of "we recognize your skills" and is essentially an endorsement of their clinic or their NGO.
So again, I'm going to ask you to think a bit more broadly in terms of if you were now in a position of organizing one of these trips for someone or running an organization that sets up these sort of electives, what do you know now that you didn't know based on your own experience over there that you think other people should be paying attention to and incorporating into their best practices?
One of the very striking findings that we heard many host community members talk about was not actually the student involvement, but the U.S.-based nonprofit's relationship between the U.S. employees of the global health program and the local on-the-ground employees. Some local coordinators and doctors were explaining that they felt like they weren't recognized in the same way, that the local employees of the nonprofit weren't recognized in the same way that the U.S.-based employees were. For example, an Indian coordinator would see a U.S. employee who was promoted from coordinator, then later director, while the Indian coordinator further always remained the Indian coordinator. Another thing they mentioned was that these U.S. employees are traveling like maybe every few times a year, maybe once every other month to come to India to come visit us. But why don't we as Bolivian, as Indian doctors, have equal opportunities to travel to the U.S. or to other sites?
Which raises any number of complex issues in terms of making this a real collaboration rather than it being a site that people are using for their own purposes. This is obviously a bigger issue than we can do full justice in a brief conversation, but it is impressive how broadly and deeply you started getting into some of these issues. If you were to encounter another student who wanted to do research of this type, again, you've had the unique experience of getting involved very early in your career. Has the overall experience given you any insight that you would care to share with other students who are interested in making a career out of medical education and thoughts as to how they might set upon that path?
I think what made this research so exciting for me and interesting and fun to do was that I had equal enthusiasm from my collaborators who were on the ground in India and Bolivia and from the local nonprofit Child Family Health International. So I really think that coming up with a research question, it can't all just come from the student, from me, who's doing it. It really has to be a collaboration. And something that I found very helpful for this is that when I first approached the professor to do a research project with, is that I had some interests pretty broad, but I didn't have one specific question or something I had to do research on. So if students are willing and open, come with an open mind on potential topics they could do, but then really go to see from the source in terms of they want to work with a certain community, like what are the community questions? Since if it's not something they want to answer, it's going to be hard for you to do a real project without their full participation and their enthusiasm.
That's an answer that both demonstrates you're living the life that you're professing in terms of making sure that you're conscientiously thinking about the needs of others as well as pursuing your own interests, and definitely expresses wisdom beyond your experience level. So it's becoming easier to see why you've been so successful at conducting a study like this so early in your training.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
I think we should leave things there, and I want to congratulate you on your interest in global health and thoughtfulness in terms of how you're trying to approach it in a way that's going to be mutually beneficial for everyone. And again, we'll direct people to the paper if they'd like more details. It's called Host Community Perspectives on Trainees Participating in Short-Term Experiences in Global Health. The first author is Tiffany Kung, who I've been speaking with, and you'll find it in the November 2016 issue of Medical Education. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks again, Tiffany, for your time.
Thank you so much, Kevin.